This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And happy Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. And it's been a joy to be with you the past few days here on this great program. And we try to bring you the news that is important going on in Congress and in policy, giving you information so you can know what's going on in your community and the nation's. Well, breaking news, Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price has resigned. President Donald Trump accepted Price's resignation in the midst of a controversy over his use of private planes. This is unfortunate news. Secretary Price is a good man. Good man, good friend of this program, and, things happen. Well, in just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas. He's the chairman of the Powerful Ways and Means Committee. He'll weigh in on tax reform and new disaster relief bill that will provide temporary tax cuts to victims of Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria. And wow, hasn't it been rough to watch what's going on in Puerto Rico? We'll get an update on that as well. And the Republican governor in Illinois has signed into law free abortions for Medicaid patients, and pro-life advocates are livid. We'll talk with David Smith, executive director of the Illinois Family Institute. He'll bring us up to date on that unfortunate news. And, well, the Poverty Law Center is at it again, continuing to spread its web of lies and hate, creating a toxic environment of hostility and intimidation towards those who they seek to silence. We'll talk with Hannah Sherlocker of Campus Reform. She's one of the latest targets of the SPLC. And on the back end side of the show, I am really excited about this segment. We're going to have four-time whistling champion Christopher Ullman, whistling champion of the whole world. You won't want to miss this. He's going to whistle the national anthem for us and discuss the corporate failure of the NFL in regards to player protests. He's a corporate consultant in media and also has a book out, Finding Your Whistle. And of course, we'll take your calls. But just in a quick reminder, the Values Voter Summit coming up October 13th through the 15th, it is the premier conservative gathering in the country. That's October 13th through the 15th. For more information, go to valuesvotersummit.org. Well, today is the end of a very busy week in Washington, D.C. We've done our best to bring you the pressing issues facing Congress, like health care, tax reform, and of course, we've watched from afar Puerto Rico struggling for its very existence and relief efforts underway in Texas and Florida. And it's fitting to wrap up the week to have Congressman Kevin Brady with us. He represents the 8th Congressional District of Texas. He is also chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, considered by many to be the most powerful committee in Congress, with jurisdiction over taxes, health care, Social Security, Medicare, international trade, and welfare. Chairman Brady, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Russ, thanks very much for having me on, and thanks, too, for making your comments about Dr. Tom Price, because I couldn't agree more. I served with Tom on the Ways and Means Committee. I and several others, along with our House Republicans, put together the repeal and replacement plan. He really is a man of integrity and character, and one of our true pro-life and pro-family champions. So I'm sorry to see that occur.
And I believe a lot of folks would appreciate your comments there as well. And a lot of times there's backstories and stories behind the stories that nobody knows about. And I suspect that's where we are here with this.
Yeah, you're right. But it has been an exciting week, especially for the Americans have been waiting 31 years for Congress to act to fix this broken tax code. Having the president come out with House Republicans and Senate Republicans behind him on Reagan-style, bold, transformational tax reform on Wednesday, that added huge momentum and made it real, I think, for most of Americans.
And, Chairman, you know, we've tried to break this down for the past few days for our listeners. They see their tax returns. They see their tax forms that they have to fill out. And it's been 31 years since Americans saw any kind of tax reform proposals like this. And what was – explain the work that went into play to get to where we are now with this plan.
Yeah, so this is pretty critical this week, in the sense that, you know, it is rare in history – especially in the history of tax reform, to have the president aligned early on with the House and the Senate. President Reagan's reforms were transformational. It took about 2.5 years for those reforms to occur. We're setting a very aggressive schedule, an ambitious schedule, to finish this by the end of the year. And so that really required us to work together with the White House and the president to get on the same page. And so this sets the stage for it for this year. I think Americans will look at the this tax reform, which is all about more jobs, fair taxes, and bigger paychecks. And when they see how, in effect, it transforms the tax code from one that's designed merely to wring money from you and me and your listeners into one that's built for growth, the tax code built for the growth of jobs and paychecks, and it will leapfrog America from 31st in the world among our top 35 competitors, so nearly last, into the top 3 in the world as the best place on the planet for that next new job, that next new company, that next new manufacturing plant. So from that standpoint, it really is exciting.
And that's a statistic that you don't hear in the mainstream media. And Democrats are criticizing the reduction of the number of tax brackets, and the mainstream media can't seem to find the positive in the plan. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, you know, they're just going to – two things. The media, just frankly, they hate tax reforms and tax cuts because they just assume your money is the government's money. We think just the opposite. We don't think it's the property of the IRS. It's yours. And so – we want Americans to keep more of what they earn. We're proposing the lowest tax rates on our local businesses, especially our small businesses, the lowest rates in modern history. And we redesigned the code so that businesses and workers can compete and win anywhere in the world, including here at home. And so from that standpoint, they don't care much. The media, and certainly Washington, likes to pick apart tax reform, but back home here, we live in Texas. I didn't move to Washington. Boy, they are excited about this approach, especially, and I'll finish with this, one of my exciting, there's exciting, a lot of exciting parts about this, but the thought that 9 out of 10 Americans can file their taxes using a simple postcard-style system, that is really what a lot of Americans have dreamed about.
And doesn't cutting the corporate rate ultimately benefit American workers and creating new jobs? Isn't that what it's all about?
Always does. In fact, they estimate that an average family of four can see $5,000 more in their paychecks and family budgets as a result of this tax reform. One part of it because we're lowering the tax rates, but the other part, the bulk of it, because when our companies can compete, when they can write off their capital investments in new equipment and new computers and new trucks and new refineries and all that, Main Street jobs and paychecks grow. And so a big part of this is the growth in paychecks, which frankly, the last 10 years, most Americans haven't seen it budge much at all.
And tell us, give us an idea about the timeline of getting the bill passed. Are you going to get some help across the aisle?
Yeah, well, I hope so. But I don't know. But the timetable is this. Now that we've released the what they call the framework, the unified framework between the House, White House, and Senate, so we'll turn our attention to the budget over the next several weeks, because without a budget, you don't have tax reform. And once that budget's signed, sealed, and delivered, the Ways and Means Committee that I lead will bring out the overall tax reform plan. And we'll start for the first time in 31 years, action in the House on tax reform. So it's a very ambitious timetable, but I'm confident if we get the American people behind us on this, we can get it done.
And just changing gears just a little bit, earlier in the month, Congress passed $15 billion in disaster relief bill as a quote-unquote down payment for Harvey relief in Texas and Louisiana. And now we've got Puerto Rico. It's like that paper plate that you see on that commercial where you put too much food on it. How do you handle all of this? Well, the president recently signed one of your hurricane relief bills. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so what we got an opportunity. First, we reacted very quickly from Congress, made sure FEMA has the money, and we filled that pipeline so that communities could count on that. But we also know there in the tax code we can do some things to help people. So this relief for families and businesses does a couple things. One, it encourages more charitable giving by businesses and individuals to help families and communities recover. Allows people to dip into their retirement savings plans without penalty if they need it to rebuild or hang on during these tough times. We allow them to write more of their casualty losses off their taxes because for many, you know, they've lost their home, they've lost everything in their life. Some have lost their loved ones. We want to help them as well. And then we help businesses keep their employees on their payroll while they're working to get back on their feet, because after these disasters, you can lose tens of thousands of businesses. We don't want that to happen with all the workers that they employ. So, you know, it's good common sense relief, but it's available right now, and it's available for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, Florida, Louisiana, and Texas.
And it's just a mess, you know, watching these pictures on TV, Puerto Rico, and, you know, this recent lift of the ships. Help people understand that, getting goods into the island and what President Trump released, allowing other kinds of ships to go in.
Yeah, that made such good sense. And, you know, Puerto Rico's a challenge because geographically it's harder to reach. Look, Texas and Florida and Louisiana, have to give this president credit. This is about my fourth major hurricane in disaster. You know, I've never seen the government react this quickly and forcefully, so I have nothing but praise. Puerto Rico is tough to get to. Economically, infrastructure, power, they were really struggling beforehand, so they took a bad situation, and the hurricane made it worse. And so it really is going to take all of us working together to help them. And I know in Texas, while I'm really proud of how our neighbors helped neighbors during this crisis, Russ, we got so much help from around the country. We had volunteers, boats, food, supplies. So I think every state just pouring in. And so I always like to make the case, look, while we're proud of how we responded in Texas, thank you, America. Thank you for helping us out when we needed it so much.
And Congressman, some may not realize, but you're a very strong pro-life advocate, and the 40 Days of Life are coming up.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you and your wife, Kathy, have two adopted teenage boys. That's good news, isn't it, to see folks coming together?
It is great news. In fact, we kick ours off here here at home in Montgomery County tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We kick off 40 Days for Life. That originated in Bryan College Station, not far from where we live, but it is... If your viewers or listeners, excuse me, Russ, haven't been part of this, I encourage you to do it, because the prayer for those who are considering an abortion, for those who work in these Planned Parenthood clinics, it works. It saves lives two at a time, and it really is powerful.
Well, Chairman Brady of Texas, thank you so much, sir. We appreciate your service. Thanks for being in the trenches and fighting for what's right and true. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Well, folks, earlier today, Illinois Governor Bruce Rohner broke his promise to not sign House Bill 40. This bill will force taxpayers to cover the cost of providing free abortions for those on Medicaid and for state employees. When we return, we'll talk with David Smith with the Illinois Family Institute. He'll join us to discuss. This is Washington Watch.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers.
We need you in Washington, D.C. That's right. America is built on the courageous spirit of its people, and it is our duty to preserve the great nation by sustaining religious liberty, defending the unborn, and protecting the family. Take a stand for faith, family, and freedom at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Hear from invited and confirmed speakers like President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Loesch, Franklin Graham, Ollie North, Alveda King, Kevin Sorbo, Bill Robertson, and many more. This is the place to network and meet up with people and organizations that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues that will shape the future of our country. Join us at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And Washington Watch is powered by the Washington, D.C. Family Research Council. We bring you the news that's important that's going on in Capitol Hill and in various states across the nation. And in Illinois, this is a story you need to know about. Illinois Governor Bruce Rohner, he signed legislation allowing state health insurance and Medicaid coverage for abortions, ending months of speculation after the Republican reversed his stance on the issue last spring. Well, with us now is David Smith. He's the executive director of Illinois Family Institute, an independent nonprofit ministry dedicated to upholding and reaffirming marriage and family, life, and liberty in Illinois. David, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hello, Russ. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's an honor to have you on the program. You know, we've talked before in folks like you who are in the trenches every day fighting for life, fighting for the unborn, this has to be disappointing.
Oh, it's extremely disappointing because when this bill was being debated, it was voted and passed out of the Illinois House in April and then the Illinois Senate in May on a party line vote. No Republicans voted for this. And it got the minimum number of votes because the Democrats are in majority here in the state of Illinois. And it was sent to a Republican governor. And the Republican governor, when he was campaigning, Bruce Rohner, a couple of years ago, said he had no social agenda, though everybody knew he was pro-choice. He was also supposedly a fiscal conservative. And in April, before it passed the Illinois Senate, he had made a threat saying, I'm going to veto this when it gets to my bill, my desk. But as we know, yesterday the pressure has been really ramped up on the governor with the pro-abortion groups in the state of Illinois and even some Democratic gubernatorial candidates putting pressure on him because our election is next year for governor. And he caved in and he signed the bill.
Well, David, I was reading, according to some political analysts, Rohner will be the first governor in the country to initiate state taxpayer funding of abortion, and he's
what a dubious distinction, right? I mean, it's pretty sad. And one other thing, Russ, that you should know and the listeners should know, the entire Republican congressional delegation, so all 7 Republicans from the state of Illinois who serve in Washington, D.C.'s House of Representatives sent a letter to Governor Runner saying, as Republicans, we urge you to veto this bill. And that happened late last week. So he definitely got it. So the entire Republican caucus in the House, in the Senate, and then, of course, the congressional delegation all weighed in, and yet he's got now the distinction of being the only Republican in the nation to put this kind of a law into effect.
Well, what got to him? What caused the change?
You know, I think there's a number of people in his inner circle who served on Mark Kirk's staff when Mark Kirk was a U.S. senator from Illinois. He was always a liberal Republican, and I think those liberal Republicans are all pro-abortion, and they must have been in his ear. Bruce Runner's wife, Diana, is a big Planned Parenthood supporter. In fact, when Bruce Runner announced in April that he was going to veto this legislation, that same week, he and Diana, his wife, sent a $50,000 check to Planned Parenthood. I think he was trying to say, hey, I'm still with you guys. And then eventually he did cave in. And again, I'm not sure why he caved in. I don't know the exact reason. But my suspicion is that the political pressure from the Chicago Democratic Party was too much, I guess.
And, David, that is why Washington Watch exists. That's why organizations like yours exist, to
That's
get out
right.
this kind of information that the mainstream liberal media is not going to report. And on
right.
top of this, it's my understanding that there's no cap on the number of abortions that could be covered under Medicaid. And
That's
there's
right.
no cap on the amount of taxpayer dollars spent on these procedures.
No, and in my fear, and many of the other pro-life leaders in Illinois have expressed that, you know, Illinois could very well become a dumping ground for the Midwest, where people are coming over the border from surrounding states to get a Medicaid abortion. And I wouldn't be surprised, too, if we learned that even illegal aliens are getting abortions here paid for by tax dollars and taxpayers.
And I'm also seeing, and I'm also seeing, based on figures from the last time Illinois financed this unrestricted Medicaid-funded abortions, at
yes.
the current rate, state government spending could range anywhere from $1.8 million to $21 million.
That's right.
That's a lot of cash.
And one state representative was on the floor of the House debating this, a pro-life leader, and he said it could get up to $60 million annually. We won't know until after the fact. And the sad state stat is, here in Illinois, we do 40,000 abortions annually already. This is going to add 10 to 15,000 additional abortions on top of that. So, you know, really bumping up are the number of babies that are slaughtered in the womb.
And, David, of course, we have no way of knowing, but it seems like the attitude with the base, the conservative base, is they're rather humorless right now. They
yes.
want your yes to be yes and your
right.
no to be no. So his political future could be kind of interesting.
Well, you know, he has really alienated a number of people in the Republican and the conservative party here in Illinois. With a number of different bills, and one of which just recently was Senate Bill 31, which really makes Illinois a sanctuary state for illegal aliens. And I know a lot of people were done with him at that point, but this was like another poke in the eye. Mm. And so there are political types running
yeah.
around trying to recruit a candidate for the primary, which is in March of 2018. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, David Smith, thank you so much for being with us, the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute. We appreciate what you're doing out there on the front lines. Well, coming up next, yet another conservative is a victim of the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate labeling. They just love doling out the hate. You know, they just dole it out a little over here, a little over here, a lot over there. We're going to talk with Hannah Sherlocker of Campus Reform when we return. She's got a story that you're not going to want to miss. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's Friday. Shabbat Shalom.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council, and I'm a 30-year media veteran. I'm normally the producer of this show. Been at the media biz a long time, and it's an honor to be sitting in this chair today, filling in for Tony Perkins. Well, once again, the Southern Poverty Law Center has used its leftist platform to falsely label a conservative as a hater and seek to smear her identity. With us now is Hannah Scherlacher, a contributor for Campus Reform. Hannah, you big meanie, you, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Of course, you know I'm joking. I've read your bio, your background, and you are anything but a hater. You have done a lot in this business and done it nobly. But let me just take a second to set the stage. Let's see. Back in July, July 25th, you were a guest on this very program, Washington Watch, and Tony was on. And the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, interviewed you. And I remember because I scheduled that interview for you to be on the segment. And on that day, we had you on to discuss college students and socialism. And the organization of which you are affiliated, Campus Reform, had produced what we call in the business a quote-unquote man on the street style video that featured various college students. And an overwhelming number of those students you interviewed spoke positively about socialism. And voila, that interview, you're now named on the Southern Poverty Law Center's anti-LGBTQXY roundup and events of activities. And today, you've got a column on FoxNews.com about all this recent news. Did I get that right?
You got that absolutely right. Somehow talking about socialism landed me a spot as an LGBT hater. And my name is permanently out there as a hater. I mean, this is serious. This has serious implications for my career. I mean, what is a future employer going to think when they Google my name and see that I'm a hater? It's just, I don't know how they linked this socialism interview to LGBT hate. It just really shows the complete intolerance toward conservative ideas. They're so quick to slap a hate label on anyone or anything that goes against the liberal narrative.
Well, Hannah, I will just tell you as a word of encouragement, there's been others on that list, and one told me the other day they're wearing it as a badge of honor. Now, you are fortunate. You work for an organization, as do I, that understands the true nature of SPLC. They are truly the hating element, the hate people spreading around hate. But there's some folks that may not have that kind of luxury and that kind of net underneath them. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And, you know, this would be laughable if the Southern Poverty Law Center didn't wield such enormous weight in society and government. They're taken very seriously. CNN routinely cites them. And, you know, we have at Campus Reform, we're covering a story in a couple weeks. Gonzaga University is hosting a three-day hate training session, and Southern Poverty Law Center is hosting it. So they're affecting our academia. These groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, they know how to reach students. They know how to smear. They had tremendous success in the 60s actually fighting injustices. But, you know, once they defeated the KKK, they needed and the funds were still funneling in. They needed to, you know, still go after something, and their next target became Christians and conservatives. And now we're starting to see them affect academia. They're affecting our, what we like to call, indoctrination dens, as you may know them, college campuses.
That's right. Well, the SPLC is dangerous. They're reckless. They're irresponsible in their hate labeling. And the goal on that website, Hannah, is to demonize people, as you now know. And the goal is to intimidate. They were hopeful, and I can say this, that you would zip up, and it takes a great deal of strength and courage and determination on your part to rejoin us here again and talk about it. And so that when we put it into perspective, it takes the power out of them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not backing down to this. And like you said earlier, this is not just my story. This has happened to conservatives and Christians, libertarians across the nation for years now. And essentially, bottom line, this is bullying, and it needs to stop. Where people have become afraid to speak up about their conservative views because they're afraid of getting fired, losing their job, losing their academic standing. And I think it's important that we push back. I'm personally pushing back by calling on them to remove me from the list and stop smearing people just because they don't think exactly like them. And, you know, if we don't push back, we can only expect them to continue pushing us into a corner, silencing us. And I think it's important that we don't back down. And we do take it seriously. Although it seems like a laughable organization, unfortunately, they do still have an influence in society. And it's important we push back.
Well, and we've seen people like Ben Carson, for heaven's sakes, a member of President Trump's cabinet on that list, going after regular folks. And really what they're doing is they're proving FRC's point. And Tony's made this point. Family Research Council has been making this point for quite some time. And now you're another example. And Hannah, just we pray God's blessing over you during this process. We're out of time. Thank you for taking time on this Friday to join us. We've been talking with Hannah Sherlocker. Godspeed in this journey. You're one of the champions. And we thank you for joining us here on Washington Watch. Well, don't go away. Coming up next, we're going to have a four-time international whistling champion on the radio. And I've got a special surprise for you. It's going to be great. It's going to be special. Maybe a first on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Well, we're turning the corner on home stretch here on Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. By the way, you can go to frc.org and get all of this great content from the radio program. Social media links are there. Website links are there. You can follow Tony on Twitter, at T Perkins. I'm also on Twitter, Russ Jones Speaks on Twitter. And by the way, when we had Chairman Brady on, there's a website you can go to on the tax reform information. It's fairandsimple.gop, fairandsimple.gop. So that may be a site that you would find useful, and go check that out. And also, I want to give out the phone number. We're going to take your calls here in just a little bit. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. But right now, I am really excited to introduce four-time whistling champion Christopher Ullman. He's here and going to share with us. We're going to talk about a variety of topics, the NFL and the national anthem. But I wanted to take a different approach on this topic. And Christopher Ullman, he's the four-time international whistling champion, 30-year corporate communication expert, and author of Finding Your Whistle. Chris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Russ, thank you so much for having me, and greetings to all your listeners.
Well, Chris, great title to a book, Finding Your Whistle. How did you find your whistle, literally?
Well, what's interesting about this is that it's literal and figurative, meaning
yes.
I am a whistling champion on one hand, and the book is about how I've used this simple gift to touch people's hearts and lives. But whistle also is a metaphor for simple gift. And actually, the subtitle of the book is Simple Gifts Touch Hearts and Change Lives. And what I try to do in the book is entertain people with stories about whistling at the intersection of politics in Washington and Wall Street, because I work at an investment firm. But the underlying message is that everyone has a simple gift, and the goal is to be able to develop it and share it with people. You know, because I think we focus too much on heroes, and we're waiting for heroes to make the world a better place. And my message is that If you're waiting for heroes, you're going to wait a long time, and that each of us, you, me, your listeners, everyone has a simple gift, and the goal is to develop it and go out there and share it with love and respect and humility and really make the world a better place.
And what a great point. And you know, Chris, I love football, but these guys have stolen it from me. I mean, they just absolutely stolen the joy, and many have turned it off. And let me ask you a question. I saw that you've performed the national anthem at a number of sporting events, and wow, how impressive is that? Would you be up, let me ask you, would you be up to whistling the national anthem for us right here on Washington Watch?
Well, Russ, I would be so honored to do that. I've done it at NBA games, Major League Baseball games. I did it for Duke men's basketball, and performing the national anthem is a huge honor. And I would be delighted to be able to show your listeners what a whistler can do.
So, well, that's
ready. If you're ready.
I believe this may be a first on Washington Watch. So, folks, if you're driving, pull over. If you're working, just take a minute, sit back. Chris Ullman, four-time international whistling champion, here he is now with the national anthem.
There
you
go.
Bravo. And Chris, just imagine the Washington Watch audience is jumping to their feet, applauding, because that's just the kind of listeners we have. Oh, that was great. Thank you so very much for sharing
that.
Let me ask you, you're a corporate communication professional, executive, been at this a long time. This has been brutal, hasn't it, for the NFL and maybe even businesses affiliated with the NFL? What's the impact on these protests?
Well, I think it's just as an American and someone who loves the flag, I fly the flag outside my home every day for 30 years. I have relatives who fought and people who died in battle. And so the flag means a lot. And I think people should respect the flag and what it stands for. And so what's interesting about this from a kind of a corporate communication standpoint is that, and that's what I do for a living, is advise people on how to communicate effectively and how to solve problems from a communication standpoint, is that, you know, we have a First Amendment, and people, so therefore they have the right to take a knee or, you know, not come out on the field, as some players have done. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, we have to respect those who've died for our country and who've died in service to the country and who've done it in protecting our flag. And so I actually equate this to the old proverb about kicking the dog because you're upset. And, and let me tell you what I mean by that, is that if you had a bad day at work, and you come home and you kick the dog, you know, it's not fair to the dog. So it's very similar here. If people are upset about race relations in America, okay, let's talk about those issues. Let's work on those issues. Let's have a dialogue. But to disrespect the American flag and our national anthem is like kicking the dog. It doesn't achieve the goal. Because people, this is my belief, is that people who are of goodwill and open-minded are probably going to get turned off and not want to communicate with the people who are aggrieved because they're not really addressing and approaching this in the right way.
Well, Chris, you know, viewership is down some 11%. DirecTV, even just recently, the host network for the NFL, Sunday Ticket, they have offered to give money back to people who want to cancel their subscriptions and get a refund if they cite the players' protest during the national anthem as a reason. So, you know, this is what we know. There are consequences to our behavior. There are consequences to our decisions, and people who protest in that way just have to know that there are other people that are going to protest in another way and say, you know what, I'm not going to watch anymore. And when you turn off that TV, Nielsen ratings can't pick up your signal on the TV, and you make a statement in that way. Well, Chris, will you stay on with us and take a few questions?
Sure.
I'd like to talk with folks that are trying to find their whistle. I love that. Are you out there trying to find your whistle? And Chris, I would imagine you can share some ways, how do you do that if you're kind of tuneless or whistleless and trying to find that? Let's go to Mitch in Missouri. Mitch, did you hear that national anthem whistled there? Do you know how to whistle?
I know how to whistle, but not that well. I was very touched by that. I think that's tremendous.
Yeah,
well,
that was a
Mitch.
Real gift. That was a gift to us here on this Friday. Well, you say you're offended that kneeling is apparently okay, but Christians can't speak out.
That's right. And I am a veteran, Army veteran from the early and mid-1970s. And I defend to the death the right that people have to express themselves. But what offends me is the fact that these athletes, high-paid athletes, entertainers is what they are, as well as the people in Hollywood and their award venues and things like that. What they do is use their stage selfishly to express their views and things like that. They turn it into political and all these kind of other things other than what the venue is there for. Yet, if we as Christians, try to share something or we disagree with somebody's opinion, which we have the right to do, the double standard applies, and all of a sudden, you know, we're bigots or we're racist or we're intolerant or whatever. And it is time that we speak up. We need to speak up as Christians in love, but we need to let these people know that it's not okay for what they do. It's totally disrespectful. You know, the Bible says that sometimes the best answer is no answer. And we have
right.
to, you know, we have to be discretionary, and so do they, you know. And that's just, I thank you for letting me share about that.
Well, Mitch in Missouri, thanks for calling. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And it's Friday, and we're talking with Christopher Ullman, four-time international whistling champion. He's a corporate communication executive and the author of Finding Your Whistle. Give us a call. Are you trying to find your whistle? 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's get some positive calls in here about finding your whistle. What's one way you found your whistle, Chris?
Well, and whistle in this context is metaphor. So
yeah.
It's for the simple gift. So, for example, I've taken my simple gift and shared it with the President of the United States in the Oval Office. This was George W. Bush, and I kind of warmed his heart for 20 minutes, back when he was president. And I've used this gift to whistle happy birthday for 500 people a year to honor life, to tell them that their life matters, because life, of course, is the greatest gift of all. And I once whistled happy birthday for a senior citizen. And amazingly, I got her at 3 in the afternoon. She was 85 years old, and I whistled for her. She was delighted, and it was great to hear her voice. And then she said to me, "You're the first person I spoke to today." So think about that. 3 in the afternoon,
yeah.
On her birthday, no one had called her. But I was able to take this very simple gift and share it with her and bring some joy to her heart. And that's really the point here, is how can we as people of faith develop the gifts that God has given us. And That is really what this is all about, is how can we empower ourselves to harness these gifts that the Lord has given us to make the world a better place. And then don't be a hero and think you have to change the world. Just change the world of the person right next to you. That's really what this is about.
Well, maybe we've just got a few minutes left, and maybe you can be thinking about another real short little whistle tune you could be doing that you could share as we go out. Tiffany in Mississippi, you say folks sometimes don't think about other ways the flag is disrespected. Tiffany, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi.
Hi.
I was saying that they're making a big deal about the NFL players, not about them kneeling. And they say that's okay. But how about Budweiser putting a flag on their beer, or a lot of these Playboy bunnies that pose nude with the flag wrapped around them? Nobody says anything about that.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And Tiffany in Mississippi, thanks for calling. Chris, on that note, can you give us another short little tune just in the few remaining moments we've
got? Sure. This is I'm going to do Battle Hymn of the Republic, which I whistled for George Bush in the Oval Office. Here we go.
All right.
Go.
Bravo. Bravo. Thank you so much. Hey, we've got time for one more caller, David in Nebraska. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
I see you're a veteran, and you just got a veteran's tune from a four-time whistling champion.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I just wanted to say, with all the stuff going on with hurricanes and natural disasters in the country, how these people feel they're taking knees when a guard member or former military member goes in there to save them. And, I guess you don't like me, so I'm going to help somebody else. I'll see you when this is over. How would they feel then?
Well, that's a good point, David. And, Chris, veterans, they are really the ones offended, and we're going to have to end on that note. Just 15 seconds, one last word, Chris.
Well, thanks for having me on. I just want each of your listeners to think, what is my special gift, and what am I going to do to use it to make the world a better place?
Chris Ullman, whistling champion, author of Finding Your Whistle, thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch. You've been a great gift, and the listeners, thank you for joining us here on this Friday. And I leave you with this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. From John 16:33. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch. Have a blessed weekend.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.